Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Defining Kinks. We are well into season two. And today, I mean, if you've been paying attention to the week leading up to the episode, you will know today's subject is the ever popular, controversial, one of the other of the topic of anal sex and things related to anal play. I have a very fun guest today. I'm excited to have Evil Scotsman of Reddit here with me today. Thanks for being on my podcast.
Thank you for having me. I thought you said you had someone fun though. When they get in here.
Well, I don't know. Until they show up, I guess I'm stuck with you.
Godeed.
Oh man. So before, like, usually we start in with like questions and stuff. I thought for this episode, considering that it is kind of a, I'm thinking like of all these anal innuendos now. I'm like, this is kind of a touch and go subject. I'm like, right. So I'm just going to start out, Evil, what can you, as far as anal sex goes, what is your, like, experience level with it, and what is your opinion on it, just so our listeners can know, and then I'll kind of share mine so they know where we're coming from for the whole episode, so they can decide to warrant and take away what they want based on our opinions, etc.
Okay. Well, you have to say coming from. You had to.
I did.
I'm going to take a second to close myself. Right, I am pro. I've had lots of experience with it, and if it's done right, I find it to be a very enjoyable act.
We're never going to get through this.
No. I'm trying so hard, and I'm failing so bad. But no, there is a lot of issues surrounding it, and a lot of it is just due to misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for me, I never experienced the misinformation. So a lot of the stigma and that goes with it didn't really apply to me.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So as far, sorry, I don't want to be a stickler. See, now I'm doing it. I'm like, we're going to dive a little deeper. Jesus. This is never going to happen. I'm like, it's like 12-year-olds. Who said, but?
That's worse.
Yeah, no, okay. It's too much. So we're going to just take it a notch further just to make sure. As far as experience, you said you're pro. You have a lot of experience in everything like that. Is it with giving and receiving? Or is it one side of the coin over the other?
It is mainly giving.
Okay.
The pitcher, not the catcher. I will hands up admit that a part of that is due to other reasons. Like, it's not a case of I would say no. It's a case of it has never been an option.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't talk from that side of things. But
gotcha. Yeah.
An ex of mine was very fanatic about it, shall we say?
Okay.
So yeah.
Lots. Oh, okay. Like in receiving it or
receiving it and everything to do with it and
sharing everything.
Collection of tales.
Okay, there you go. Okay, cool. Yeah, cool. Yeah, no problem and stuff. I just want to make sure and stuff. And then, like you said, your pro opinion, you're like, you're for it. And stuff like that. Like you said, you've never experienced this, you know, like personally, you've never had to experience the stigmas or the issues that people have with it. So yeah, you're kind of like, what's the big deal? There's nothing wrong with it. I've had good experiences. Sweet. So I just wanted to like establish that as far as mine. I'm kind of more, as far as the actual act itself, I'm more inexperienced than you in the fact that I've only begun to explore any sort of anal play in giving or receiving. For years, I was very highly opposed to that, which which like we'll get a little in more later, like when we start talking about different stigmas and different opinions on it. But for the longest time, I was against it. And then when I started being more explorative of my sexuality and trying different things and actually for once stop letting the way I got raised or previous partner experiences to, for lack of a better term, control my sexuality, you know, subliminally after all these years when my sexuality is mine, I don't owe it to anybody. When I started exploring it on my own and stuff, I started having good experiences. And so what I have experienced so far, I feel has been positive. It's a different thing, but not one that I don't enjoy. So yeah. So, and I'm sure that I'll continue to explore it at my own pace. So that's my opinion on it. So that's where I stand.
That is actually the best way to do it. Always go at your own pace.
Exactly.
I was brought up in a very, very Catholic part of Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
So all sex was taboo. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I would say Catholic. Yeah, I would say almost all sex is taboo or a sin.
Premarital and not for the sake of children. Yeah, you're brimstone hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
So although I didn't have the particular stigma with anal, that was just for everything.
And yeah, for everything.
Going at your own pace is genuinely the best thing for you.
Yeah, I would agree. So I think that it has elicited me a lot of positive experiences. To say the other side of the fence before, when it was all my experiences were predicated by my partner's choice or their pace or what I thought I should be into or should be doing sexually, were not positive or like very rarely positive. Mm-hmm. So I can just like definitely testify on that and stuff. And I know that I have a lot of listeners on the show and even just listeners to audio content that I put out there, that a number of religions, because there is that atmosphere of sex as a sin or giving into your carnal natures or your urges or anything that is not straight up sex for procreation purposes, is a sin and you should feel shameful. And so there are so many religions that do that and stuff like that. And we don't want to knock like any religions and stuff like that. Having that element and raised with it, because I grew up in the conservative South myself, that also can like really make it a struggle for you. So just go at your own pace as you're starting to accept your sexuality and everything. And I've always said on the show, don't run before you can walk. Like try to walk first, then try to run. Like do it as you're able to. So, and for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There is certain experiences where, you know what, just diving in deep end can be beneficial. This is definitely not one of them.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can see that totally. That is a warranted thing though, because some, it's just kind of like, because there are some things, like there are big jumps, you know, for certain things. Like I know some people wouldn't say it, but like if you're talking about a high dive experience or sometimes like one of those mega roller coasters, like you just have to go for it sometimes. Like buy the ticket, take the ride. But yeah, this is one of those ones, probably, I would say, start with a kiddie pool and work your way up for this. So definitely. But anyways, listeners, I just wanted you to know, these are our experiences. This is where we're coming from. So if you don't agree or anything like that and stuff, at least know this is where we're coming from, limited, you know, by our opinions, experiences and stuff like that. So, because this can be a touchy subject for some people, and we probably might get into some of the stigmas and opinions and societal issues with it. So, because we're fancy.
You said if you don't agree with us, and my instant reaction is to go, fight me.
Yeah, fight me.
Fight me.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm fine with people disagreeing and stuff like that. I'm just like, just so you know, this is where I'm coming from. You can disagree, I guess. Yeah, you do you. So then, now that we know where we're both coming from and stuff like that, and our opinions and everything like that and stuff, we've kind of touched on a little bit, but right now, I just want to jump. I'm just like balls to the wall. Let's just do it. You know, balls to the ass. I don't know. this is not good. But we're just going to dive right in and go for it.
Shouldn't do with anal sex.
Yeah, with anal sex. Don't do it with anal sex. But in this podcast, do it with us. As far as listening to us and hearing our discussion. let's just talk about why do we think people hate anal sex, they're afraid of anal sex, or they're shameful towards people that have anal sex? Why do you think? Or like, what are your opinions? Let's just start, you know, getting a conversation going.
Personally, this is going off of my collective associates pool. This is the people that I know and talk to about this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of them are very much against, and it's for the same three reasons. It's wrong. That's where poop comes from. Or, for some godforsaken reason, I know multiple people that believe this, but it doesn't feel good.
Okay. Yeah.
That seems.
So, like, go ahead.
The common ones. I disagree with all of them. Well, except the second one. It's not so much disagree. It's there's more to it than that. But
yeah,
shouldn't hurt unless you're not doing it right, and it's. I don't see why it would be wrong.
Yeah, no, that, yeah, and that's my, I mean, granted, I don't want to black and white it so much, but like, in my opinion is, I'm like, if you're saying it's wrong because it's not the vagina, then you could just as easily say the mouth is wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to, if you're going to bring it down to something base of, well, it's not the vagina. And I'm just like, yeah, well, neither is your mouth. And I don't see anybody having many issues with oral sex. So, I mean, that's almost like my thing when people kind of bring it up, you know, about the, you know, and stuff. And as far as, I'll just throw it out there, as far as the whole poop thing and stuff, usually you're not pooping while you're having anal. So, I mean, but I'm going to be completely honest. Sex is messy and sometimes things happen. But honestly, like, I think sex is messy and people have been in messier situations, honestly. I mean, we clean ourselves on a regular basis. I mean, I would say as a child, you should be taught, as an adult, you should be practicing just normal good hygiene. But like, even after a normal sex session, it's sweaty, there's fluids. There's period sex, I mean, which involves blood.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you're fine with all these things or just getting dirty on a normal basis, this is just one more thing. It like, you can wash it off, you know, like.
My favorite example.
Go ahead. Is
the people that have sex outside.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
You're raw dogging on a beach.
So much sand.
Sand.
Dirt.
Critters, there's everything.
Yeah, no, really, there really is and stuff. And so, then my thing is if you really have an issue because it's like that gross or something to you, a lot of people, you know, whether it's long-term partners or not, they will wear condoms, like, because of that purpose.
Oh, yeah. Condoms are multiple uses.
Oh, yeah, no, sometimes it's like a clinic. And I know previously I had a partner that when we would have period sex or whatever and stuff, that's the only time he would wear a condom. So, you know, it's just that thing, you know, whatever. But I mean, like, that's so I guess, the, you know, number two, I'm on the same with you. I'm like, it's not really, I feel like it's a non-issue. Number two. Oh, yeah. Ha, ha. Now you got it. I was like, why did he just titter? Why did he giggle? And then I'm like, oh, gosh. Okay.
For everyone that said, there's 100 not said. That's the worst part.
Oh, gosh. As far as the sensation, my thing is my opinion, and you could probably, you know, you have more experience than I do and stuff like that. I don't have total experience, but I do know that when I have explored it some, I will just be upfront and saying that's fingers, that's very mild toy play and things like that, stimulating the area, things like that. It's a very different sensation, and it's not an unpleasant one. And there are positions that you purposely get in that can help you relax, and it's totally fine. And then that also said, there is the A spot for women, and then there is obviously the G spot for men. Yeah. And for those that don't know what the A spot is, the A spot is a woman's, on a cis female, it is basically the equivalent of like the male prostate. It's deeper along the vaginal canal. And one of, for some women, the only way to stimulate that is through anal sex, because you have to have some length to get to it the other way. So, I mean, it does depend. Every woman's anatomy is different, but I'm just saying most of the time it's somewhere that you weren't able to hit from vaginal sex, is what I've looked into and what I've heard from women I've talked to that have experienced it.
The one thing I will say, if you don't have a lot of experience with that particular sensation, don't hit that, the G, and the clit at the same time.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll pass out.
Oh, wow. It's, warning.
From what I've been told, it's because it's a new sensation mixed with what I would hope are two well-known ones. It fries your brain a wee bit.
Yeah, kind of like overloads, sounds like.
Yeah.
Kind of like overloads everything and stuff like that. I have heard that for, and this is, like I said, just from what I've heard, what I've read and stuff, I have heard that the A spot is more intense, and that it can, like, it's more intense, and some women, like, aren't prepared for it or anything like that. And I heard the same, even when they're able, either way, like if you're talking anal or if you are able to achieve it vaginally, I hear when it does happen for a woman, she's just like, whoa, you know, like it's, I hear it's like so overwhelming because it's not something you expect. Like it you can, said, it's a new sensation. It's completely different.
It can be so sensitive that it's painful.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. Like it can be painful. Yeah. Like if you're just, you know, if you're just being negligent about it, just going for it.
I would never recommend just going for it. Straight off the bat anyway, but it's easiest way of describing it. It's like your inner elbow, the skin on your inner elbow.
Okay, yeah.
It's used frequently, but it's a lot more sensitive than the skin 2 inches down or 2 inches up. Because there's not as much contact, there's nothing to desensitize you. Now, inside is a ball of nerve endings that are very attuned to feeling good. It's I found that one out the hard way. Kind of freaked the fuck out.
that was
bad. But it's something to be careful of. But the actual, I'll go all scientific so I don't start laughing again. Can't fucking help it. I'm starting it. The sphincter does not have as many nerve endings as the vaginal opening or the vaginal canal. But you do have muscle there, so you can feel. I'm trying to think of the words. As I said, I personally have never been on the receiving end. So I can only go by what I've been told. It's a feeling of being full. That it can take some getting used to, but it's not unpleasant.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's, I know quite a lot of people that thoroughly enjoy that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that was my experience. When I was exploring when I was in the early days of, you know, being on my own, going at my own pace, exploring my sexuality and everything like that, more so, you know, instead of taking the lead from other people, I just kind of fell into with a group of friends, and they were raving about sex. Like, and it was women. It wasn't men, it was women. And before then, my experience from the men's side is men had always, you know, there was the, I guess, the stereotype that, you know, if men could try anything in bed, what would they try? They'd want to try anal, you know, or like you hear about it a lot, or at least in media anyways, like TV and shows and stuff. And yeah, so like I was just so, but the women were raving about enjoying it so much, like so much so that some of them were saying they preferred it to vaginal sex. And in my head, this was blowing my mind because I love vaginal sex. And one of my biggest kinks is like breeding and, you know, bear sex and, you know, things like that. So like in my head, I was just like, but why? I don't get it, you know? And so like, and I had the same thing of like, but that's like, it's your ass. Like, you know, like I would just, that was my thing. Like, I just didn't get it. And so after talking to some of them and stuff, then that's when I kind of was like, okay, people are raving about this. They're raving about it to people, you know, like it's not like they're raving about it in front of men to sound like, ooh, I'm so, you know, evolved and into, you know what I'm saying though? You know how, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like, they weren't doing it to impress anybody. They were legitimately talking about how much they enjoyed it with no audience other than other women. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's something to this. So I started talking to them and, you know, started doing some little exploring stuff. And it is, it's a very different sensation. And I noticed that for me, when I've dabbled in like both, where like I've had, you know, penetrative sex, you know, with some ass play added into it, just the light play that I've had at the same time simultaneously, your muscles do react differently. And there's a different sort of tightening and stuff. So yeah, it was like totally a different experience. It wasn't a bad one and stuff. So, you know, it's definitely something that I'll probably explore more. For me, probably one of like the hot, to answer my own question, you know, why do I think people hate, fear, or shame it? I got into this discussion with another guest, which for those that have heard the clip before this episode airs is... And you might be able to, I don't know how well, how much you want to get into it or how much you can agree with me and stuff. I mean, I know you said that some people think it's wrong. Then there's the poop factor and then the, you know, the sensation they'll think it'll hurt or they won't feel anything, which we've pretty much debunked all those in my opinion. like my thing is I feel like there is a stigma attached to anal sex. You know, like definitely in that it's from me coming from a conservative religious background, it's purposeless in the fact that it's not natural or whatever. And then also the other thing, I think that would make people feel ashamed or whatever of it, you know, like if they want to try it or they're into it or something. And the other thing that I wanted to get into is, for males, I feel, you know, in society, I feel that anal sex has the stigma that it's demasculinizing to want to participate in it for males. It doesn't matter your gender. I mean, not your gender.
I was waiting for this, but as soon as you told me what the subject was, I knew this would come up.
It will, because it's, well, the reason I want to bring it up, though, is because people don't talk about it. Like, they don't want... Yeah, they don't want to talk about it. But my point is like, to renege what I was saying, that it's demasculinizing and it doesn't matter what your sexuality is. If you identify as bisexual, homosexual, heterosexual, if you're a male and you're into any sort of ass, anything, it's demasculinizing, is the stigma and is what society has put out there. What are your thoughts? I mean, I have thoughts too, but you go. I've talked a lot.
Right. When it comes to males, especially receiving, the number one thing is, does a finger up the ass make you gay? Does a toy up the ass make you gay? No.
No.
No, it doesn't. There's a fucking clump of nerve endings up there that are specifically designed to make you busting up, basically. That is their whole purpose. They are there to feel good.
Yeah. There's only one way to get to them. I mean,
now,
most effectively.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll say that.
I will say, if you engage solely with other men, having sex. Yes, you're gay. But not because you're taking up the ass. You're gay because you're in a loving relationship with another man. That's kind of what that is. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. But no, it doesn't make you gay to enjoy ass play, because it's one of life's cruel jokes.
Yeah. No, and my thing is even in, like I said, it doesn't matter your sexuality, because they would see even in homosexuality, the stigma is that if you're I hate this so much. When it's a gay couple and like there's the heterosexual Chad, you know, oh, well, who gives it and who takes it, you know, because apparently being the giver, you know, the one that's the pitcher makes you more manly than the one that's taking it. And
I'll say this.
Go ahead.
I am 6'4". Mm-hmm. I am built like a shit brick house. I have a big beard. I am covered in tattoos. I wear big ass biker boots and leather jackets. All of my friends are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are gay.
The
catcher, if you will, is 6'8", bearded, tattooed, biker jacket, gnarly scar down his face. I have yet to see anyone tell him that he is not masculine. I have yet to see anyone attempt it.
And
they get asked that, oh, which is the top or bottom? And he's like, I'm the bottom. And people go, all right, big man.
Yeah. Okay. We believe you. Yeah. Yeah. No, but like, and that's just, it's so dumb in my opinion. And it's one of those things where the episode that I got into it so much and have talked about it was the episode on toys, because, you know, men's toys have come much further in it being actually an open, you know, that's insane. We're not. It's becoming like more acceptable to be open, that you accept, you know, that you accept or that you enjoy ass play, whether you're straight or gay. So it's become a little more, obviously we've got more way to go, because it's still a stigma still, and people don't talk about it. And just from a societal standpoint, which I told you, I would come back to this in the episode. From a societal standpoint, even this affects women's viewpoint on anal, in the fact that before, when I was younger and I was very opposed to anal, obviously most of it had to do with the natural ramifications, but that's because I like natural sex because of my kinks that had to do with the breeding and stuff like that, which a lot of people know. My thing is that I did not want to, as a woman, demasculinize a man. I am into, you know, more dominant type males. So, and this was before I kind of explored enough to know that I am a switch. I do enjoy being dominant at times. But for a submissive female, if a man had approached me and was just like, oh, well, I would like you to perform ass play on me or to peg me and stuff like that, I would be like,
okay, right. Taking, you know what that, I'm
saying? Go ahead.
Taking that. If before you found out, well, I say found out, but you know what I mean? That you were a switch and that you had that dominant side.
Yeah.
If, for example, you have met a dominant man, you have agreed that kind of relationship, and he says to you, just out of the blue one day, I want you to shove that up my ass.
Yeah, I think, like, the submissive in me would want to listen, but I think the part of me that was more close-minded and had no experience would be like, it's almost like, you're less of a man because you want me to do that to you. I think that's like the stigma attached to it.
See,
go ahead.
Then you've got that inner battle between stigma and wanting to please the person you have said you want to please.
Right.
Now, you've said about social ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
Up until, you know what, I'd have to say about 10 years ago, maybe slightly more, slightly less, men having sex toys was a no-no.
Yeah.
I suspect, well, where I am, if I'd said to my mates, guess what, just got one of those brand new fleshlights, they would have went, there's something fucking wrong with you, you're a freak. now that sex toys for men are more widely accepted,
yeah,
like a guy can say, yeah, I've got a couple. You may have noticed that if you go on to, well, I'm in the UK, so I have used Love Honey. If you go onto Love Honey and go to Sex Toys for Men, the first three pages are fucking G-spot stimulators.
Oh, wow.
So, you've got, it's now socially acceptable for men to, you know, go out and actively look for a toy.
Yeah.
And the most common thing to find involves shoving it up your ass.
Yeah, no, and that's my thing. I'm glad that it's come so far and stuff like that. So I think, like, my thing is, it's just, like, I feel like those that still have reservations or that are interested in it, but they're afraid to admit it to their partner, or they're afraid to get that toy to experience it, or, you know, be open about it and stuff. I think it's these small little stigmas, and then just also, like, the issues you talked about, the very practical, you know, issues and stuff, too. I think that, yeah, that's my thing. They shouldn't be issues anymore. We've come so far, and I'm just like, you know, people, and of course, when I had that opinion about that, I felt it was, I agreed, like, you know, subliminally from society in my head, I too was accepting that it was demasculinizing of a man. Yeah, that was like a decade ago, like when I was very much younger and stuff like that, you know. So, I mean, I'm glad that I've evolved, and I'm glad that society's moving forward and stuff, but it's really a shame because, as we've established, it hits that bundle of nerves. And in my opinion, if there's better sex on the table, we should be wanting to have it.
Oh,
you know.
How are you with history?
Huh? I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay with history.
Now, we've talked quite a bit about the demasculinization.
Mm-hmm.
Best example of this is if you look back to ancient Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And Sparta and Athens and Alexander the Great. Greek soldiers, while away fighting their wars, would gladly participate.
Oh, yeah.
Homosexual sex. And they are still, to this day, along with the Romans, considered some of the best soldiers to ever have lived.
Yeah. No, for sure.
So, that stigma didn't exist back then.
Yeah, no, it didn't. Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like there was a big overturning. Yeah, like, because they were pretty, I mean, that was what it was. Everybody knew it. Like, it was, yeah, it was not a thing. Yeah, they were pretty, you know, this was part of their, like, regimen, you know, or, like, their camp operations. Like, it just is what it is. This is how we do things. So.
It worked for them.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, no, for sure. So, I mean, I think that's the only things I mean, those were, like, we talked about them a lot, but those are definitely, I think, there are a lot of reasons why people fear it, shame it, you know, hate it, or don't want to try it and stuff like that, or whatever and stuff. If it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But, you know, leading into that, if it's something you think you want to do, or you've even just, you have a mild curiosity about it, we've kind of talked about it, but just like safety tips, you know, or whatever and stuff, or starting out, go at your own pace. If I had a suggestion, start with like fingers, you know, like, I mean, like start with just mild play. Yeah. Yeah. Just start small with what you already have. I mean, and also like definitely, like you don't rush into it. Like we've kind of established this already. Don't rush into it. So, you know, for me, it was personally, and I don't know if you've had this experience, like doing this with other partners. But you know, it's stimulating the area around the area. You know, obviously lube and things like that all help, and stuff like that, but there's no like rush to like jump in and, you know, have it all right away, you know.
No, you can have your cake and eat it, just not at once, because both parties get hurt with that one.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, definitely. And that's my something you want to try and stuff like that. Obviously, there are a lot of resources out there. I'm always remiss to link them, but if I do find actual resources that I think are great, I totally will link them. but there are positions, there are, you know, like I said, lube, start small. There are safety tips out and, you know, things like that and stuff. Be clean, take a shower beforehand, like whatever you're going to do. A lot of it to me, I feel like is pretty easy and simple and just, you know, make it a thing. You don't have to rush, be crazy about it. Start small. What?
A lot of it is self-explanatory.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's what I feel it is and stuff. And then I just, you know, just it's because it's like a natural thing too. So it's like, okay, what's a natural thing? You know, like just slowly rub the area, just very gently and stuff. And then maybe a little bit of pressure. And then, you know, if you want, you know, dip your finger in, you know, whatever. Like just.
I do feel like a bit of a hypocrite right now.
It's all right. It's
okay. My introduction was nothing like that.
Oh, no. It happens. It's funny. We've had the episode on dominance and we'll have the one on submission and I'm very good with it now, but before I made plenty of mistakes. So I always think that's funny. And so as far as that goes, I just wanted to hit into different types of anal play for those that don't realize that it's not just going full blown. There are like different things. Obviously there is anal sex, which is penetrative sex. You know, which most people refer when they say anal sex, they're referring to actual a dick, you know, like a real flesh person going into
Willy up your bum.
Yeah, willy up your bum, basically. Whether that the one that is receiving is either male or female. It doesn't matter. That's full-blown anal sex. Pegging is usually when it is a phallic toy.
Normally a strap-on.
Yeah, a strap-on, something like that. And usually it is referred to when a woman is doing it to a male. But it can be any, like it's basically a strap-on for any person receiving. Then there is the, you can do rimming or oral or the ever scientific term of eating ass.
You try to say it.
I tried. You can do it. Okay.
You've got this.
Scientific term of eating ass. And so that one, I've known men that just love it. And women for, you know, it's just it's hard to explain to somebody that doesn't have any experience, I guess, but as you explore it more, especially with like finger play and things like that, you'll notice how the muscles move and relax and contract and different things. And it's just a whole different sensation. So, and then obviously of the ever popular is plugs, like using plugs and toys like that. And then there are
tails. Like tails.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's like, we talked about it in the toys episode, but there are like so many plugs. You've got the basic ones. You've got the ones that are like, you know, beginner plugs or like training plugs where the set will come with like several different sizes, to work your way up to anal sex. And then also, you know, there's the tails. They have like all these little ends on them. Little gems are the most popular for women because it's like very taboo to, some people, this was a point earlier about why do they hate fear shame. It's still very taboo to have sex sometimes. Like it's naughty, to have anal sex. So the little gemstone is like, it's taboo, but I'm being classy about it. So I think that's, and it's, oh, you're laughing, but it's true. It's kind of like their way to like jazz it up, you know, and be a little classy about it. And it's pretty and it's attractive, you know, to see the little gemstone. It makes a girl feel classy. But there's all sorts of tails. I've seen the newest thing I just saw was like pigtails, like a little curly Q, like swine, like a pigtail. I was like, yes. That's different. But ever popular is like bunnies, foxes, cats, dogs, you know, like the big fluffy tails.
My favorite one is a xenomorph from Alien.
Like, was it the, like a xenomorph tail?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that.
It cost me quite a bit of money.
Oh gosh. That's so cool. Oh wow. Okay, yeah. Like I figure like something like that would be pretty custom.
That's kind of fucking awesome.
That's great. No, like I am totally like I'm all about and sci-fi and things like that. So I'm totally that's way cool. Yeah, and then the other thing we talked about is how you had talked about that full sensation. Something that I learned about with anal plugs is that not only can you go up in size, but something that's begun to be a thing for it is they don't change in size, but they change in weight. They've put weights on them. And for some women or men, they don't need to go up in size. It's that physical weight, the heaviness that makes them feel full, have that full sensation. And so now they've done that. And there's also like counterweights where if you put it in, and you maybe move it, or maybe your partner moves it to stimulate you, the turning of the weight based on the counterweight on the end creates a very different sensation that many enjoy. So really, there's just like so many things out there as far as plugs go. I would definitely like check it out. There's like so many things and everything. So yeah, any toy or any other thoughts on different forms of anal play and things like that? I'm trying to think.
You said that, but I'm too busy thinking about tails now.
You know, you're all thinking about tails. They're very fun. They're very cute. I think they're adorable.
You know how you hear all the first thing you'll hear when you mention anal sex to anyone is someone's godforsaken horror story.
Yeah, this is true. Like,
I mentioned to a friend of mine, we were out shopping, and I said to them, I'm like, oh, need to have a look in this shop for a plug. So he thought I meant a plug for the sink or the wall. Gosh. And then we walked into like the sex shop. I'm like, listen, he's like, oh, no, you can't do that because I heard that this one guy done the. Basically, the biggest one going around is pulling fucking anal beads out like you're starting a lawnmower.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard some. Yeah, I don't know how many hold water and stuff. I'm sure someone has done it somewhere because they've done it incorrectly. I will say that. Because I'm going to be honest, there are people that do regular sex things. My aunt used to work in an ER room, and I think the worst thing I've heard is that a girl, while she was drunk, decided to masturbate herself with a bottle, like a glass beer bottle, but she did it the whole side in her. And when she did it, the suction took. So she basically came in having to hold the bottle to not continually move up inside her because of the suction. And basically they had to use a little medical hammer to bust the bottle to let the air release and for it to go. But I'm just saying, my point is that women, anybody makes dumb sex moves by themselves or with partners. So yes, am I sure there's horror stories about anal? I'm sure. But I know they're not the only stories. I know there's plenty of good ones and plenty of enjoyable ones. So my thing is like, before you know, go into horror story mode and think, oh no, all these horrible things will happen. Just know there's literally a horror story for anything out there in the world. Sexually or otherwise. So, you know.
And most of them aren't true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of them aren't. They're like urban legends, or it's just someone thought of it one day. And, you know, when you're a kid and you'll just be like, oh, yeah, well, I heard this one thing happen. But really it is you came up with this crazy scenario in your head and you just say that you heard it somewhere, or that you heard it can happen. And then, you know, it just gets passed around. You know, so.
Yeah, if you hold hands, you'll get pregnant.
All right, yeah, if you hold hands, you'll get pregnant. Or if you, yeah, or like when you're really young and stuff like that, and it's just like, if you swallow, if you give a blow, you know, like when you're a teenager and stuff, if you swallow, you'll get pregnant just as easily. Or like you'll get pregnant easier because it goes into your belly. And I'm just like, that's not the way it works. just so you know.
A basic graph of biology.
I know. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, the belly is not actually where the baby is made at all. You know, But it's just funny. Like, it's these crazy stuff.
Completely off topic. I actually know where that story originates.
Mm. Really?
That yes.
Belly thing?
It's not an overly pleasant story, but I know where that story originates and why that became a thing.
Oh, wow. Now I'm so curious.
Young woman was giving super happy fun time with her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And swallowed, and her boyfriend caught them and stabbed her twice.
Oh, no.
Oh,
now I think I see where this is going. Okay. Yeah.
Through sheer dumb luck. Managed to get the guy's
sperm
on the knife, and then the second one went in the womb. Due to how quickly she was taken to the medical room, the sperm actually survived long enough to she became pregnant from it. And it's like one of those one in a bazillion chances.
Exactly. That's kind of like the story of like Son of a Gun. Have you ever heard of that story?
I can't say I have.
So you know the phrase son of a bitch or son of a gun, you know, when somebody says, oh, you old son of a gun. So apparently where that originated from is back during the Civil War, you know how they had like sometimes they had nurses out on the field. So apparently the one in a million shot or like, you know, in their tents or whatever, but they were like in the middle of battle sometimes. And so anyways, where the story originated from is that, you know, they had the muskets and everything and a one in a million shot, literally an enemy shot a soldier and the bullet basically took him through the scrotum, but the bullet kept flying with the sperm, you know, the scrotum, all this stuff into the womb of one of the nurses in a tent. And she became pregnant, you know, or whatever and stuff like that. I mean, like, I think they debunked it. I think people have tried it. They debunked it, but that's like the legend.
Especially since sperm isn't actually stored in the testicles.
Yeah, or like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, but I mean, that basically was the premise of like, yeah.
That would be a fucking impressive shot, especially with a musket.
I know, that was my thing. I was just all like, I don't know, crazy. I mean, like, I guess a part of me can appreciate the legend of it, but a part of me, like the scientific part of me is like, nah, that never happened. But it was interesting like your story kind of like it just one of those crazy one in a million, like if it ever, you know, whatever. But that's pretty crazy. So,
but that does bring up a good point. Most of the horror stories you hear can be debunked pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, it's like one of those things. And then, like we established, even if it was the thing, it literally is so minuscule and it's only a story because it happened that one time. Like, you know, if it ever did. So, for sure. I think as far as like safety tips for any of those, I mean, a lot of them actually come with instructions. A lot of toys do, a lot of different things. I know.
Silicone-based lube. Use plenty of lube. Take it slow. Wash thoroughly.
Yeah, exactly. Good in things. And if you're looking into like rimming or anal or anything like that, just clean up. That's basic hygiene. I mean, it is what it is.
You can even make it part of foreplay.
Yes, very true. Very true.
Pick her up, and put her over your shoulder, walk into the shower.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, start it there. And I know a lot of people have done that. And then as far as for males, something that I've heard is as far as like stimulation and stuff to get ready or to explore, I've also heard using G-spot vibrators or wands of any kind, like actually underneath the ball sack in that space, the gooch, I guess, right? Is that the word for it?
The taint.
You tried not to. You tried to cough. Yeah. Whatever that section is, but I'm just saying that space between the two. I've heard that vibration stimulation of that and stuff leading up to some light, you know, finger pressure or wand pressure or G-spot stimulating, you know, toys or anything like that, because some are internal, some are only, you know, external vibrators. I've heard that just that whole area and then some light pressure, I heard just that in itself adds a lot of sensation and enjoyment.
Well, that's as dick. The taint is dick.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Like, it's like the very back. Like
your dick goes from the end of where it comes out browned underneath, well, technically above the testicles, out and then back up. So by putting vibrations or by stimulating that, it's a lot closer to your end goal. So
So I can see what would definitely help you relax and things like that. As far as position, any sort of like similar to a squat position, I mean, is what I've is my experience and what I've known, because you, when you bring your knees to bend your ass, your sphincter, it relaxes. So you, I said it because you made that the medical term. Yes. this is like going to be the episode that ends the whole show. People are like, well,
I'm sorry.
We believed in you until you did the episode about anal and couldn't quit giggling.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. But no, like I heard like that will relax. And and I know it to be, just from a lady standpoint, to be true. And the fact that when your legs are any other position, you are tight and tense and stuff. And I know for some, you know, I think there's the thing that it needs to be tight. Let me tell you, in a relaxed position, it's still tight, you know. Oh.
That's a definite yes.
So that's my thing, because I think some people are like, oh, I want it to be tight. Believe me, it's going to be tight, even if it's quote unquote relaxed. So that's not, you want comfortability for your partner. So that should be actually first concern, but it's going to be tight.
Well, the thing is, if your partner's comfortable, it's going to get a whole lot tighter.
It's true.
If you can get them relaxed to the point where orgasm is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those muscles are going
to... At some point, you will not be able to move. You will not be able to move.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, because that's what I've heard too as well. Everything's going to tighten because those muscle contractions and things like that, it's going to tighten. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, I'm just trying to make sure, I'm looking at my notes, making sure I got everything we were going to talk about. We even talked about a little bit of safety tips, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we pretty much did pretty good.
Don't be silly. Grab the other willy. That's what we get taught in school.
Yeah, all those little lovely, lovely ones. So just wrapping up into the episode, I think we've talked a lot about it. We've talked about reservations people may have. We've talked about the pros, the cons. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, any parting advice, words of wisdom you have? I think we kind of hit on a bunch of little kernels of wisdom here. So what do you think, Evil? Anything else you have to add?
Easiest way of doing it. Don't try not to be closed-minded. Even if it's not for you, it doesn't make it wrong. Take it slow. Plenty of preparation. And either do it yourself or do it with someone you trust. Don't go on a drunken night out and just go, you know what, stick it in there. Because someone's going to get hurt, and chances are it's going to be both of you. And that is a trip to any you do not want to explain.
No, that's very true. Yeah, that's a trip you don't want to explain, for sure. I think definitely I will just echo that. Having an open mind, I've talked about it this whole show, having an open mind when it comes to sex and kink and exploring new things, you may find that new thing that you were missing out on, or you may just find a good extra additive to your sexual relationships or encounters that, you know, leads to normal, regular, regularly occurring better sex. So don't deny yourself because of some stupid social stigmas or reservations you have without the experience to back them up. Everybody's different. There's a chance that you may give this a little try, like I did, and you may not like it at all. And that's fine. Don't like it. Cross it off the list. You've given it a try. Move on. We're not here to say you have to have anal. We're just here saying, give it a shot. You never know. And like I said, it's moved a lot. It's becoming popular. People are becoming more open about it. And I guess that was my thing. There's something to this, you know? So that's why I'm giving it a go.
So, well, I'll do it.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Always not bad.
So thank you all for tuning in today. I hope that you took something away from this session. It's one of the more, I don't want to say controversial, because I don't feel like it's wrong. I just feel it needs to be talked about. But this is one of the nitpicky kind of, you know, delicate ground subjects. But I think we hit on everything. I hope you enjoyed it. I had a good time talking about and I look forward to hearing experiences, opinions, and other dialogues that get opened because of this, because I feel it should all just be talked about. It's our sex. We're going to take control of it and have a good time. That's our goal. So thank you again for being on my show, Evil Scotsman. You can find him on Reddit and all around. And you guys all know where to find me. So until then, kink safely, make sex fun, and don't be afraid to try new things. So until next time, bye.